Hi everyone, this is Maria Skobe-Pillay, and you're listening to Women in Customer Success podcast, the first women-only podcast where remarkable ladies of customer success share their stories and practical tools to help you succeed and make an impact. If you want to learn more about customer success, get career advice, and be inspired, you're in the right place. So let's tune in. Welcome to the new episode of Women in Customer Success podcast. It is such a pleasure to welcome Nikki Clark-Crossman, Global Head of Customer Success at Coherent. Welcome, Nikki.
Hey, Maria. Thanks for having me. It's good to chat again. It's been a while.
It's been Lots a while, Nikki. Absolutely. I'm really excited to hear about all of those changes in your career. Let's start with the basics. Nikki, where are you based? Where are you calling from?
Based in Singapore, but you may be able to tell from the accent, I'm British originally, but I've been out here now for about 9 years.
Wonderful. 9 years. So before that, you've been in another country. Let's go back in your teenage years when you were 16 years old. Would your 16 years old you be surprised to find you in this current job?
Good question. So a 16-year-old me would have been in London causing havoc. But no, I don't, to be fair, I don't think so. I think I've always been quite a bubbly, outgoing person, so it makes sense that I kind of work with people a lot, and my role is kind of very people-focused or customer-focused in terms of customer success. But yeah, and I always definitely wanted to live abroad, so that is kind of expected. But yeah, I mean, I did never expect Singapore, that's for sure. But yeah, you never know what life's going to throw at you.
You never know. How did it happen? Like, how did Singapore happen? It's one of my bucket list still. I still haven't been there. I'm dreaming about it. So yeah, please tell me more.
Yeah. Well, if I'm really honest, when I first got offered the opportunity, I actually didn't even know where Singapore was. So that's even funnier. But I knew it was somewhere hot because it was on the equator. But once I kind of figured that out, I was like, yep, I'll go. But the journey to get there, my career kind of spans back. I kind of started off in media in retail development management, then kind of went into analytics and that kind of stuff. And then I kind of went into consulting, and it was with the consulting company that I worked for, TIBCO. They were the ones that needed someone that kind of did what I did with their whole analytics stack product. So they shipped me to Singapore, and yeah, I stayed with them for, I think, another 5 years. And then I've jumped around a little bit in terms of different companies, but all moving towards that CS title, as it were.
Nikki, I know you're in Singapore, beautiful place, and you can easily travel anywhere. Where did you travel last?
Well, it is very easy to travel. Just like Europe, it's easy to kind of hop and skip to other countries. The last place was actually Bali. It actually becomes like a regular on our fixture. But Bali was the last place. But to be fair, obviously with COVID, travel pretty much slowed down a lot. So yeah, everyone's starting to kind of get back in the holiday buzz and trying to travel more and more. So especially to see customers as well now, which is lovely.
Nikki, I'm just hearing about Singapore and Bali and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I'm already there at the beach. So maybe, maybe just let's go into business. Thanks for giving us a little bit of a brief where you are and what is happening. Now, tell us more about how did you enter into customer success? Because as far as I remember, you are also a musician and you were in music. That was like a big deal for you previously as well. So tell us more.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not quite music. I was more the business side, but I worked for the music industry for about 6 years of my life, kind of in the UK. And again, kind of customer focus, weirdly, but the role was, like I said, it was called retail development manager at the time, which almost was like a CS person, but without that kind of definition. So yeah, worked, and it was very fun times, lots of concerts, lots of free music, lots of shenanigans. So it was very interesting, but I suppose, well, I'll give my age away if I say certain things, but you know, I was there when the whole boom of Spotify and all that kind of stuff came about, and the death of the single CD, I suppose physical CDs have pretty much gone away more or less. But so I kind of saw that transition, I suppose, for the music industry moving into that digital era. So that's kind of, I'm kind of quite tenacious. So I kind of jumped on that bandwagon and kind of started analyzing stuff, and hence why the kind of analytics side of my brain started kicking in, and I was like, hey, I can do this. And started to kind of evolve there.
That's excellent. Nikki, I also want to know about your academics, because as far as I remember when we spoke a few times, like, I was always impressed by you having family, doing your PhD, you know, just like that, and all of those fancy and awesome things. Tell me more, what's happening in that department?
That is still ongoing.
It's PhD, isn't it? That can last for years.
Yeah, well, the plan is to, so I took a little bit of a break, but the plan is still to aim for about 3.5 years. You can, they normally try and get you to do it within 4. But yeah, I'd say I'm kind of over the halfway mark now. So it's kind of down to the research. And anyone that's listening, I may be reaching out to you for like questionnaires and interviews.
Yeah, tell us more. Tell us more. What is the premise and your methodology? And what do you need from people? Why not? Let's just invite people to take part in your PhD.
Well, yeah, so my PhD is around customer success. So I hope to make a contribution to our field. And it's looking at, I suppose, it's a kind of a plethora of things. But I suppose the overarching question is around customer centricity and the fact that CS, we play a dual role. And so, like, we obviously work for the company, but we try and be customer centric. And can we really be truly customer centric? Because obviously, we always have our companies, I suppose, our company wants to achieve at heart, and trying to help our company grow, but trying to facilitate our customers at the same time. So it's that kind of, and I suppose, ambidexterity that we have, and trying to figure out, like, you know, can we truly be a customer-centric SaaS organization, given the fact we have, you know, targets, revenue numbers to hit, all that kind of stuff, and also that impact on the CS role itself. So CS are generally the people that get to do everything and work with all the teams across all teams and get asked to do everything a lot of the time. So that kind of also looking at ambidexterity, not just in within the organization, but also within the CS role itself. And kind of, yeah, trying to figure out, like, what does this tell us all? Like, where are things going? Like, how is things are going to end up? Are we going to see full circles in terms of roles? And lots of research and lots of things I need to dig into, but that's the premise, is looking at the customer centricity of an organization.
I love it, and I can't wait to find about the findings in a few years' time, right? Or earlier.
Yeah, it takes, even once you finish, it still takes like another year before they release it or whatever. Yeah. So, yeah.
Oh, firstly, it's wonderful. A wonderful topic. Like, how many times, I'm sure you did as well here from CSMs. Oh, I really want to do the best for my customers, but then the company's telling me something else, right? Like, you can't always do the best for customers only, as much as you would love to. Like, it's in CSM's nature almost. Oh, that is really exciting, Nikki. So what would it be, a questionnaire that you would like CS leaders perhaps to fill in at some point?
It'll be more interview based. So I will be going, kind of, like, sort of creating my pool. I'm in the process of kind of creating a pool of criteria that companies need to hit, but it will be talking to those sales and CS leaders and kind of asking them questions in terms of how they've done things, how they've structured their organizations, and just trying to see if there's a pattern. Because I know we say, and everyone says in CS, like, there's no one size that fits all. And I kind of agree, but I believe there's probably about a few that fit most. So it's I want to try and identify, like, the 4 that fit most, and how that how that other companies can then learn from that, and startups can kind of look at where they're at and see what fits them. So,
well, we'll be very happy to support you with the whole global community. Hopefully it's a wonderful project, and why not? We can't wait to hear more about the findings. Nikki, as I mentioned, there's always loads of things in your department, right? From family, from PhD, from work, few promotions. Tell me more about your current role. Like, it is a global role. So what are your responsibilities, and, like, well, what do you do really?
Yeah, sure. So obviously with the global role, it's all about kind of creating strategy, putting things in place for the team. So my team are kind of US and Asia based at the moment. We haven't quite grown out Europe just yet, but I'm sure that will be down the road. So just kind of helping with the expansion motion. And that's another thing that's quite interesting, is the CS, I suppose, is kind of pivoting slightly, where companies are giving them more commercial commitment and kind of giving them, making them more commercially focused CS. And I've come from another company that was very commercially focused on CS. So using all those skills and that knowledge I developed to kind of, I suppose, help the CS team kind of work on that kind of renewal and expansion motion and get some good rhythm going there. So that's kind of the strategy and overarching piece. I'm sure loads of other leaders are going through a similar switch. So, yeah.
That's what I just wanted to ask you. It just seems that everybody have that mandate, right? And so many people who just didn't have that previous experience, or who were trying to be a little bit away from expansion or revenue, now just have to pick up the slacks and start doing it. So what would be some of the tips. Let's think of a scenario. You have a well-established CS team that hasn't been commercially focused at all, but now, due to the environment, they have a new mandate to become, which means a transformation of the team, transformation of their skill set, some repercussions, right? Because not everybody will like it. They perhaps want to just go and do something else as well. So how do you approach that situation when you have to now put commercially mindset to the team? How do you sell it to them?
Yeah, very good question. Very good question. Like you said, I think it's a transition. It's a slow process. It's not going to be something that can change overnight. You'll definitely have more people on the team that may be more commercially focused or minded. So for them, the transition might be slightly easier. For me, it's all about identifying everyone's strengths and identifying the gaps so that you can kind of help them, I suppose, grow their remit and understand, and yeah, kind of put like learnings and training in place, whether it's peer-to-peer or you get someone external in, getting them, you know, to shadow sales folk, also getting the sales folk to maybe do presentations for them to, so they can really understand like what things they should be looking for, and basically just giving them the tools to be successful, like what are the metrics they're going to need to look at, what are the metrics they're going to be needing, like in terms of KPIs to succeed, what can we put in place, the gates we can put in place to kind of slowly get them to where they need to be. And you're right, there is natural attrition that sometimes happens when there's change, but you just kind of keep going and you just have to kind of just keep going basically and hire other people if that happens.
It's just wonderful to see the evolution of customer success, maybe only in the last, 10 years, as we were focused firstly on adoption, only adoption, right? Most of the time, adoption and then, you know, the usage. And then we started pivoting into more of a CS operations and the metrics and what we are constantly looking, and then more of a digital scale success. Now, in that whole evolution, I remember there was a time when everybody were amazingly happy to enter customer success because there was no need to be very technically proficient, right? Now we are having another propositions. Okay, we have to be a bit more technical, right? So if you want to understand your customers, you really need to know their use cases. So we added an additional kind of skill set for customer success. Please be technically proficient. And yeah. Now in this current environment, we again want to upskill them to be more commercially minded. So there are just so many elements to the role that every few years we are emphasizing for customer success. Like, what is next and how to even, like, what is the best profile of CSMs? Because for one hand, MBA is like pretty much good for it if you want to be commercially minded potentially. What about the technical skills? Like, where do you learn and pick up all of those various skills to do the job?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. And I think companies have struggled and also handled them in different ways. I agree. I've always kind of said CS are kind of jack of all trades, master of none, kind of a bit how I've always seen myself, because you have to be, because yeah. It's better knowing lots of little things to create, I suppose, a whole picture than knowing something in more in depth, because then you become too narrow in kind of the view. But in terms of, yeah, how do you enable a team? I think, well, every company is different. Every company's product is different. So you'll go to some companies where their product is kind of like drag and drop, click, easy, kind of easy to implement. And I think that's a slightly easier transition for CS folk. Where the product is slightly more complex, I've seen lots of solutions where they'll hire like a TAM to be part of like a CS team, or a CSTO, which is like a customer success technical architect. And they become kind of get paired up with a CS person or a few CS people to kind of help with that technical element in terms of, like you were saying, identify those use cases, being able to kind of really, I suppose, understand what the customer's trying to achieve so that they can kind of basically make sure they succeed and drive that through for them.
Do you think that in the current environment, we would have, thinking about the future, we would have enough resources to have those different skill sets within the team? It just seems that customer success is becoming very expensive, or it did in the last few years when there was a huge boom. And then afterwards, we just saw so many layoffs and the aftermath of the huge boom of customer success. What are your thoughts on the future of CS? Like, how realistic is it to have so many different like CS-related roles taking care of the customers when the reality is that all of those CSMs are working for some of products or apps that are part of 200-300 apps stack of one organization? So it's not that, what I want to say actually, majority of all of those platforms are not business critical anymore for the companies. Now they are just part of the tech stack, right? And companies may have few hundreds of them sometimes,
until they want to get rid of them. So what is kind of the realistic expectation for CS teams to navigate through that environment where they are not business critical, especially if it is a very simple app? Sometimes it's like, it's a beautiful thing to have for the team, and that's it.
Yeah. And I think that's a good point. Like, I think we are, and there is going to be a melting pot moment, and with different companies at different stages, it's kind of like, what's the offering? And then what's the kind of need to have someone actually actively selling versus like this kind of sells itself. And we just need a support person to kind of support from a technical standpoint. I think CS has got a long way to go before we get to that. Well, with most companies anyway, we've got a long way to go, which is nice to hear. But I think it's always good to keep your options open in CS. And I think our skills are all very transferable, which kind of brings me to the community that we've kind of created in APAC. And I've got a speaker who's actually going to be talking this week. Well, an ex-CS leader that's made that transition into another kind of area of the organization, talking about, yeah, that you should always kind of keep your external networks open, always talk to recruiters about once a quarter, all that kind of stuff, because change is, you know, it can always happen. It can happen at any time, not just with startups. It can also happen with the big IPO organizations. We've seen it. Look, the tech layoffs have been real, been very real. So yeah, just kind of being aware and just being completely open to, nothing's perfect. And business is business. And we are always just a number.
Business is business. Everything is changing. None of us studied customer success in school. And now we are all in customer success. So that didn't exist when we thought about our futures. How it is at the moment, we don't know what will happen in the next 5 years. We already see so many different roles within customer success. So I really like your advice. Just keep yourself open for new opportunities, just new trends, and just embrace it rather than thinking more in a negative way of like, oh, what is going to happen with us? Well, whatever happens, you have your transferable skills, carry on working with them and be open for something different or something new. But I'm so glad that you mentioned the community. Now let's talk about it. I really love what you're doing. And obviously I shouldn't talk about it. Tell us more about the executive community in APAC.
Me and my colleague, Katerina Hanna, we were talking, as you do with other fellow leaders, and we were kind of saying, like, you know, there's lots of really good communities for like CSMs and getting into CS and how to be a good, like, you know, successful CSM and how to actually like kind of up level to be a manager. But then we were kind of like, well, is there actually anything for us? and we were like, well, actually, there's not. There's nothing really to how do we as like executives upskill ourselves or talk about topics that are top of mind, share on things that are like, you know, hot topics like ChatGPT. How do we use AI to kind of make our lives easier or make our teams more successful in terms of kind of taking some of the load off? Just brainstorming with fellow leaders and just being able to have like, I suppose, an open forum, especially for APAC, because little old APAC, we get left out a lot of stuff because of the time zone. So kind of creating that space for everyone to be able to come together, which is great.
Yeah, you know, very often people say it's kind of lonely up there at the top, right? I can imagine as soon as you are at least director, like whom do you talk to who can understand you outside of your organization? So you really have to have the place to vent and to ask questions. So tell us, what's the name of the community and what do you do at the moment? You mentioned you are going to have a talk. So yeah, just tell me more.
Yeah, we call it the Customer Success Executive Circle for APJ or APAC, Asia Pacific and Japan. So what we've started off doing is by monthly kind of, I suppose, virtual sessions where we'll get guest speakers on topics that we've kind of, one, we know that are top of mind for us and also potentially for other people. So like our first one was on ChatGPT, and then this one is on tech layoffs and that career transformation and kind of how do you, you know, make that transition into a new role and use those transferable skills. We've got another one coming up at the end of the month, which is like the actually future of customer success. And it's with Nick Metters, one of his sidekicks, Dan. Yeah, so that should be good. And then always what's always been top of my mind in November, we've got a lovely lady talking about how to get on a board, how to actually kind of elevate your career to get to that next level and the things that you should be doing. So that should be quite exciting, which hopefully will take us up to, we would love to do like an in-person Christmas social in the different regions. And we're kind of identifying leaders in each. So we've identified a lovely lady, CS leader in Sydney, that's going to help us kind of push the executive circle in that region. Yeah. So lots of like exciting things coming. There'll be like career spotlights to kind of talk about other executives to kind of do that executive to executive promotion. And there's lots of other things in the pipeline. So there's more stuff going to be coming next year, which should be exciting.
Wonderful and exciting. Firstly, congratulations for launching it. Like, it's a big deal. That's wonderful. Who is eligible for it? When we speak about the executives, like, what is the lowest level of like the job role for somebody to be eligible?
Yeah, I mean, we went into it, I suppose, thinking of director and above, or like senior manager. Every company kind of levels things slightly different. So like senior manager, more or less director and up. But like, we're always open to like, say, if people are kind of about to make that transition and they need to kind of understand things or learn stuff, like we're always open to more people joining. So it's definitely more, I suppose, from like manager up versus like a CSM IC level. I'm sure we'll get some that do join, but it's, you know, and maybe they want to see like, where does the path go? But ideally it's for, like I said, the executive side of things, just to kind of help us.
Yes. And you don't have to be apologetic about not accepting individual contributors and CSMs. It is entirely different world, entirely different skill set, you know. Wait and see, right? It's gonna happen for them as well. It's wonderful just to keep it, I would say, like small niche, because then it can really provide the best value to the actual profile, which is executives, and that's what you want. Great stuff. Thank you for doing it. Where can people find out more about it?
We have a website. It's actually on one of my sites, which is thinksuccess.net. And there's a tab, which is CSE, Customer Success Executive Circle. But you can also go on to our LinkedIn page. We have a LinkedIn profile. So go there, join. You'll get all the kind of latest updates and all the kind of events that are coming to register.
Wonderful. You did mention ThinkNet.
ThinkSuccess.net.
Yes, ThinkSuccess, because that's one of your initiatives. And I just wanted to check, what are your current initiatives that you're actively involved with? Because I know you always were involved in just so many different things at the same time. Do you have a list? Do you maintain the list of your activities?
Oh, no. I think those have been taking like priority at the moment. I did used to be like an active participant in other kind of communities as well, like Customer Success Network. I've got the other. There's so many.
You were writing for them as well, right?
Yep, exactly. Yeah. CS Insider. But yeah, like the community's huge. And that's the good thing about the CS world is like everyone's willing to kind of help and re-promote and just get the message out there. Because I think everyone in CS works very hard. We're probably the most underappreciated and the hardest working, I'd say sometimes. So it's good to kind of know that we have a support group outside of work that we can vent, as you said, to, and to figure out that we're not the only ones.
Oh, I agree. But Nikki, you are now at executive level. As we are wrapping up, I would really like you to share some of the wisdom with the audience. Like, what are a few of the maybe best career lessons that you have learned so far that got you to where you are today? Or do you have some juicy mistakes, like something that you really learn from?
Yeah. I mean, everyone makes, like, I call them the rubber ball mistakes. Luckily, touch wood, I haven't made any glass ones. But I suppose the biggest piece of advice I could give anyone is never overstay your time at a company. Know when you've hit the glass ceiling. But when I say that, I don't just mean like there's no room for promotion, but also know when you've outgrown the company. Like, you've learned everything you're going to learn and there's actually no personal growth with that organization, because then that's generally a good time to move on. And I've always seen it, like, when I've got colleagues that are kind of, they get to that point and then it's either they make the move or, weirdly, the company sort of makes the move for you. It's kind of almost like an unspoken thing that happens. So yeah, just always keep moving. If you have a goal, stick to your goal. And if that company is not going to help you achieve your goal, just keep moving.
That's a wonderful advice. Could you share what are the few kind of things that how you can recognize that you are hitting that ceiling? Like, how do you recognize that you're not learning anymore from it? Is it more based on like people that you're working with, so you feel you have learned the most you can from them, product processes? How do you recognize that?
Yeah, and that's a good question. Yeah, I think it's a mixture of that. So one, you've kind of mastered the product to be able to position the product and, you know, inside out. Because there's always challenges with an organization. So there's always stuff that will kind of keep you busy. But like that, if you're not learning anything new, there's nothing really new that's coming towards you in terms of that kind of development. And I suppose just when the job becomes a bit repetitive and kind of like a business as usual, the rhythm stays the same. You know what's going to happen day to day. Not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, in CS, it's always a little bit kind of that the day is never always quite the same, but you will get into kind of like a rhythm of like things that you do. I think generally you kind of have the feeling that, you know, it's kind of like, okay, because I don't know about anyone else, but I get kind of itchy feet. It's like, well, I get itchy feet all the time, hence I'm like doing a PhD and all these other things. And then I'll say to myself, why have I given myself so much stuff to do? But yeah, it just
keeps me going. So you could get itchy feet and understand where to focus your time.
Yeah, I probably need to work on that. But yeah. But generally, yeah, you should just kind of figure out, like, you know, or, and also, and if you're happy, like, are you still happy doing what you're doing?
That's such a big one. Thank you so much for sharing that. Like, know when is the place for you to leave, when is the good time to leave. If you're bored or if you are absolutely not enjoying it, right? Like, what yeah. is the point? I love that advice.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
Really, because if you think about it, you spend most of your time at work with the people you're working with. You spend more time with them than you actually do your own family most of the time, except obviously during COVID. But and so, like, if you're not enjoying that, then it's, yeah, it's probably time to look around, because that's a lot of your life.
Exactly. That's a majority of your life. Look around and be open if you feel that you have outgrown your company. That's wonderful advice, Nikki. And thank you so much for coming to the show. It was a pleasure. And I
thank you.
I want to congratulate you again for the APAC or Asia Pacific Executive Circle, and can't wait to see all of the great things that you will give to the community.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Always a pleasure talking with you, Maria. And look forward to the next time we get to connect. Hopefully in person at some point too, would be fabulous.
That would be amazing, Nikki.
Thank you for listening. Next week, new episode. Subscribe to the podcast and connect with me on LinkedIn so you're up to date with all the new episodes and the content I'm curating for you. Have a great day and talk to you soon.